speak this morning in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please have a seat. Let's see, where were we? The story. The story continues our community journey through the great arc of the narrative of God's rescue mission for us and for all his wayward creatures and for his whole created order. We're journeying through the story together with a brief little pause for Holy Week, but now we're back in the flow, and in our episode of the story this week, we encounter the people of Israel in a particularly exasperating mood. They come to the great prophetic judge Samuel and say, "We want a king, we want a king." And Samuel says, "Oh, no, you don't." And they say, "Oh, yes, we do." Eventually, Samuel, against his better judgment, and with the approval of God, gives in to their demands and finds a king. Someone named Saul. Saul, a fascinating, powerful, exasperating, and ultimately tragic character. Saul, son of Kish, of the tribe of Benjamin, whose main qualification for the job of first king of Israel seems to be that he's tall, which to me is about the most ridiculous thing I can think of. And sometimes it's not so good to be the king. Saul has a hard time of it. Saul was a man caught in the middle. Saul got to be the meat in quite a few different sandwiches. Saul was caught between two towering personalities. Samuel, the last of the great prophetic judges and probably the scariest one of the whole bunch. And David, the winsome, attractive, popular king to come, whom people just seemed to love no matter what he did. And unfortunately, Saul doesn't have Samuel's deep insight into the meaning of Israel's faith. Saul doesn't have David's uncanny genius for inspiring people and uniting them around himself. Saul's caught in the middle of these two colossal figures. Saul was caught between an old order and a new one. Saul was stuck in the middle between an old way of being Israel, a loose kind of confederacy of 12 autonomous tribes. That was all coming to an end, and something much more rigid and ordered was coming into being. A new way, with a single monarch reigning over a single nation and power centralized in the new capital called Jerusalem. That was the future. That was still emerging. Saul had a foot in both worlds, and it broke him. Saul was also caught between his people and the people around him. He was caught between his people, his poor people, his disorganized, defenseless people, who really didn't have very much in the way of cool weaponry and armor, and the Philistines, the frightening Philistines, who had really great weapons because they had a monopoly on smelting iron, and that stuff worked. Saul's caught in the middle. Most of all, Saul was caught between God's way of doing things and human ways of doing things. That's how he got to be king in the first place. When humans look at the task of trying to run a nation efficiently, we think of particular sensible ways of doing it. Let's have one strong man who represents and leads us into battle. And God says, no, you're different. You're not a nation like the other nations. You're my people. And you're going to do things differently. And the people say, no, but that makes us scared and worried. Give us a king. Between human ways of doing things and God's way, Saul gets stuck in the middle. Spare a thought for poor old Saul. With all he had to deal with, grouchy old judges like Samuel, rock star young pretenders to the throne like David, and his own inner demons, of which there seemed to be a lot, facing all those obstacles, Saul actually did pretty well. But finally, though, it's that gap between human ways of doing things and God's way that Saul never really figured out. He never found that tricky balance between being a charismatic, effective leader and at the same time remaining utterly submissive to the will of God. Saul wasn't made king for his own sake. He was made king to serve God's plan, God's rescue mission for the world. And that kind of king, like anyone else, comes under the strict judgment of Yahweh. That kind of king has to unfailingly see and serve not his own vision, but God's. And that's what Saul failed to do. His instincts were all wrong somehow. He charged ahead when he should have waited. He hesitated when he should have taken the initiative. And he tried to control things that really weren't his to control. And I feel for the guy, because I do all those things too. My calling is very different from Saul's. I'm not king. I think it's because I didn't meet the minimum height requirement. But I am Saul. I have a hard time navigating that gap between the natural human way of doing things that, given the inclination of my heart, I would follow without thinking, and God's way. I'm Saul. I hesitate when I should be bold. I'm cautious when I should be radical. I'm tight-fisted when I should be generous. I'm hesitant at the wrong times. I'm hesitant in following Christ's commandment to love my neighbors, all of them, not just the ones who are like me. I'm hesitant and often a little bit afraid when I should be bold and courageous. I'm Saul. I'm cautious, not bold, in proclaiming the reasons for the hope that lies within me. I should be radical, but sometimes it's hard. My inclination is to just go along to get along, not stir too many pots. I'm cautious when I should be radical. I'm tight-fisted when I should be generous. I'm tight-fisted with my love and forgiveness. I want to portion that out in tiny little increments, when really I should be extravagant and a little bit senseless about it. I'm tight-fisted when I should be open and generous. Like Saul, I try to control things that just aren't mine to control. Usually I do that personally by the highly effective method of worrying about them. I can tell you it doesn't work. I hold on tight when I should let go, and I let things slide that I should grasp with both hands. I'm cautious when I should be courageous. I'm a 21st century Saul. You know what? I bet so are you. And that can be a little downheartening, but notice how all of this points to Israel's future and ours. Saul didn't work out, but Israel's leader, her true leader, would come. It would just take a few hundred years. The ideal leader would come. One who would speak with utter and complete authority and yet remain completely submissive to the will of his father. One who could unfailingly see where the father was asking him to go and what he was asking him to do and courageously do it, whatever it took. A leader who could act on behalf of all the people to fulfill God's mission. And it's not Saul, and it's not David, and it's not Solomon, but a woodworker from Galilee called Jesus. He'll be the one who'll do the things that Saul just couldn't do. And I need him. And Saul needs him. And we all need him. Because we're all stuck in that place between God's ways and human ways, God's ways and worldly ways. I need him because I'm Saul. You need him, because so are you. In Jesus' name.